There are times when I feel I must look at and listen to great preachers. The best of all time are in the Bible. One of these is Zephaniah. He came through the line of Hezekiah. He ministered when Josiah was king. This preceded the destruction of Nineveh. The nation had been stained by evil, encouraged by Manasseh and Ammon. Josiah did his best from an early age to cleanse this evil. Zephaniah saw beyond. He was concerned locally. He loved his countrymen and ministered to them. He was a preacher, however, who saw the world. He knew the conflict must be resolved within mankind. There are passages in Zephaniah which read like a continuity in the book of Revelation. They see the liquidation of evil. I will utterly consume all things. Idolatry reeks. Josiah, another blessed foreshadowing of Jesus, cleanses the temple. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them into Bethel. Zephaniah the evangelist discovered that in too many cases the priests condoned idolatry instead of condemning it. The preacher found the following classes: the compromisers, the backsliders, the indifferent. Every preacher finds them everywhere. God and sin do not mix, sir, except at Calvary. And that is the spine of history. It makes the preacher necessary. Zephaniah saw beyond the Chaldean invasion and later the devastation under Titus the Roman. He saw what every preacher calls the day of the Lord. There must be a full audit. In a day of laxity, the casual, and anything goes in dress, it is a warning to notice that Zephaniah underscores this departure from the faith. And all such as are clothed with strange apparel. All Bible preachers deal with this symptom of unfaithfulness, the desire of God's people to ape the fashions of the world. Many of us have forgotten how Ezekiel sounded out. He noted the fashion conscious of his era. She doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously. I saw that she was defiled, that they took both one way. When she saw Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion, girded with girdles upon their loins, exceeding in dyed attire upon their heads, as soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them and sent messengers unto them in Chaldea. It is incumbent upon the believer to witness through his or her apparel that he or she is a Christian. Paul emphasizes this to Timothy, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, which becometh women professing godliness. The preacher warns that none will escape the final audit. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees. There is a silent majority who insulate themselves from all moral posture and responsibility. They do not want to be involved. Zephaniah has this description for them, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. These build the stagnation from which a creeping paralysis of evil crawls everywhere. This skepticism is the real cancer. The scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. One thing is certain from Moses to John, that those who ape the world, play with the world, talk like the world, profit like the world, and envy the world, invite God's wrath. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now there is a refuge. There is salvation. Each Bible preacher preached salvation. Prophetically, Zephaniah speaks of his countrymen. He writes a headline that we read every day, O Nation Not Desired. The popular feeling today is that somehow Israel would go away, that Israel is a problem that defies solution. Zephaniah points his countrymen to God. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Isaiah saw the same hiding place. Come, my people, he says, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Zephaniah never traded truth for popularity. He said sin in God's people is as damaging as sin towards God's people. The preacher writes in one verse all the agony of his nation. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Read it, sir, and weep. That can be written over every lost soul on earth. Don't be deceived by a religious system. Your business is with Jesus Christ. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. John the Revelator saw the same thing. The Lord in the midst of the seven churches. God is still on the throne, sir. He has cut down the mightiest nations of earth. Every spokesman of God is a faith preacher, without exception. Right triumphs. These Bible preachers saw that Calvary reached out for more than the church. They saw a magnificent redemption that covers this planet, its economy, its society, its government. There will be judgment, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Nations must be taught to behave, and until they do, they will wreck and be wrecked. And then comes the note of hope in the preacher's message. Why this word jealousy? It refers to the proper acknowledgement of government to God. The United States incorporates such on its money. In God we trust, in its salute to the flag under God, and its oath in the courts, so help me God. This allegiance soon will be given to Satan's false Messiah, the Antichrist, and it will arouse the divine anger. But after judgment, blessing. And Zephaniah foretells details that even John the Revelator does not record. Zephaniah says, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. The curse of Babel will be obliterated." I have always felt that the remarkable sign of glossolalia is meant to be far, far more than some religious psychedelic adventure. It is meant to be New Testament circumcision. It is an imprint upon the flesh that carries a message that this property is God's, that the Holy Spirit is chairman. But it is more. It is a manifestation of prophetic significance. It promises a better world. Every language on this planet has been dirtied by profanity, vulgarity, and vileness. Among other millennial blessings will be a universal pure language, the same victorious Lord that will remove enmity between species so that the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, will reverse the miracle at the Tower of Babel that confounded the language of all the earth, and produce instantly a new universal language of evangelism, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. David saw that day. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. The greatest proof of this restructuring will be the change of attitude of all nations toward Israel. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. When you go God's way, sir, you enjoy God's favor. Isaiah told his nation the same thing, and the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Zephaniah outlines the benefits of salvation. He loves the message. He says it is a new birth. Thou shalt not be ashamed for all thy doings. It removes that awful sense of guilt. It replaces the spirit of pride of self-sufficiency with that of meekness. Thou shalt no more be haughty. It breaks the power and habit of sin. It gives an appetite for better pastures. And best of all, it provides peace. Zephaniah finishes with the promise that God will take up residence in a cleansed, committed people. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. This verse from the seldom preached from prophet is quoted more often than any passage from Zephaniah. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That sweet day, sir, is well on its way. Things are happening in the Middle East that point to the clock. Zephaniah told his people, at that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and praise among all people of the earth. And when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. And you and I are living at such a date. So believe the word this Old Testament preacher preached. It is the word of salvation. Your problem is not too big, nor too stubborn for that long, long altar. Victories are etched here from Thailand to Ceylon, from Samoa to San Salvador. And there is a welcome for you in the next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
This is where forces of evil and bondage are repelled. Mrs. Marie Carrer, now at 80, 215 South Courtenay Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida, knelt with us some time ago wanting to hear from heaven as to whether they should move to Florida. She says, as I knelt and felt such worldwide fellowship in the Spirit, all doubt vanished, and from that moment every detail pleasantly fell into place. Titus Weekly, who receives these ministries through station WOR, knelt with us concerned about a different problem. He says, a son was causing grief to our family. We found the answer with you at the long, long altar. The cloud lifted. The darkness is past. It's so different now. There is power, sir. Believe it, at the long, long altar. Let's talk to Jesus again. Jesus, our friend and Savior and Master, we thrill to thy name and victory. All authority is given to thee in heaven and on earth. And this is thy altar. It is not made of expensive marble, or set with gold and precious stones, or lighted with a forest of candles. It is an altar of hearts. It is an altar of faith. This chain of trust is presented to thee for thy service among us. Let deliverance come to the oppressed, who reach out in thy name and with whom we stand. I thank thee for guidance. It is assurance above and beyond any computerized knowledge the world system can afford. And I love to hear thy voice within my soul saying, this is the way. Bless us with signs following. And we ascribe all glory, all praise to thy righteousness. Amen. These are moments that now millions appreciate. The path of the long altar is the most exciting trail on this planet. Come look with me. So many preachers and ministers kneel with us, many with heartbreaks of their own. And by faith and discernment, I see one who must resolve a problem or quit preaching. He has reached the place where his liberal education and seminary training can no longer justify what he knows to be true. This preacher in our midst can no longer justify his doubts about the supernatural and the miraculous. And there's a longing in his soul to preach a strong, soul-saving gospel and lean upon the Holy Spirit for anointed utterance. It will mean a break with his present employment. It will mean the biggest step of faith this man has ever taken. But your own soul, preacher, is in the balance. Jesus is waiting for your obedience, and he will use you and open doors for you. You cannot mark time any longer. This is the moment for your decision. I thank God for coming to you through this altar. This has been a very marvelous meeting. Jesus again has blessed the multitude. Each has learned some lesson of faith and service in these previous minutes. And now obedience is better than sacrifice. So we go from the long, long altar to carry out divine orders. You are my brother. You are my sister. It is the household of faith that gathers us. There will be another meeting, God willing. If not here, then there. So keep living and speaking the truth, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.